RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. New elections law undermines General Election Commission KPU independence, activists warn. Three people detained on charges of carrying 150 kilograms of hashish. Study finds Indonesians want welfare. Now the news in detail. Activists said the recently passed revisions to the regional election law will seriously undermine the General Election Commission's independence, while others pointed out that the amendments have failed to address some of the issues found in last year's simultaneous regional elections. The House of Representatives passed the revision bill into law on Thursday, introducing a clause which requires the commission known as the KPU to stage consultation hearings with the legislature before it formulates and establishes technical guidelines for the elections, including deadlines and schedules. Ferry Junaidi, chairman of the Constitution and Democracy Initiative, or CODE, said, "The KPU must file a judicial review to the Constitutional Court to have the article scrapped and regain its independence." Maskurudin Hafiz of People's Voter Education Network said, "Another can of worms, which the revision has opened the verification process for independent candidate support. The new law stipulates that the task of verifying the thousands of support for independent candidates rest on local ballot officials. The law also stipulates that all support must be verified within 14 days after they were submitted to the KPU." Maskurudin said, "Jakarta's 267 wards only have an average of 3 ballot officials each, not enough manpower to verify even the minimum 532,000 signatures each independent candidate must collect before they are qualified to run." Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR, Agus Hermanto, has called on the government to be serious in handling the increase in staple food prices during Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri. "The government has to be very serious on the issue, particularly Trade Ministry, Industry Ministry, State-Owned Enterprises Ministry, and Agriculture Ministry," Agus Hermanto said on Monday at Nusantara 3 building in Jakarta, Monday, June 6, 2016. The increase in staple food prices also occurred during last year's Ramadan, but not as high as today. Therefore, he has urged the government to take concrete action to tackle it. In addition, he will visit a traditional market in Bekasi district together with the House Speaker Ade Komarudin Monday noon. Police have detained three people on charges of transporting 150 kilograms of hashish from Aceh province to North Sumatra province. The suspects were arrested when police conducted a raid on Trans Sumatra Highway. The police stopped a minivan in front of the Besitang police precinct on the highway and asked the driver to show his driving license and vehicle license. While the police were checking the driving license and vehicle license, the suspects drove away, but they were later arrested from an area that fell within the jurisdiction of Tanjungpura Police Precinct. The three suspects were identified by their initials as D, 27 years old, a resident of Cayo Luas in Aceh, and his two girlfriends, identified by their initials as SS and AS, both residents of Medan, capital of North Sumatra Province. If found guilty, the suspects may be sentenced to 20 years in jail, life term, or even death penalty. Concerns over welfare issues, including health, education, and social insurance, have topped a recent study investigating the role of the government and welfare throughout Indonesia. Around 55% of respondents of the survey, which was conducted by the Research Center for Politics and Government of Gajah Mada University in 2013, deemed services such as housing and transportation are a top priority for the public. Economic regulations came second, with nearly 30% in the survey, which involved 600 activists from 30 districts and cities across Indonesia. Activists were chosen as participants and were questioned face-to-face as they are considered as a representation of a particular niche in the community and engage in public and government issues. Researchers found the public are concerned with civil rights issues, including religious freedoms, minority rights, and the rights of children. Hasrul Hanif, a researcher with the Faculty of Social and Political Science and Yogyakarta-based Gajah Mada University, said the public wants to a welfare state. The study found the state is considered responsible for providing welfare studies, with 65% of respondents saying the state should manage public issues. Jakarta City-owned bus operator TransJakarta launched two new routes on Monday morning, which connect the capital with the neighboring city of South Tangerang. After opening two new routes to Tangerang last month, TransJakarta now added the Ciputat Hotel Indonesia Traffic Circle and BST City Grogol Sleepy Kemanggisan routes, which began operations on Monday. Prasetya said so far there are no dedicated TransJakarta bus shelters in South Tangerang. Instead, the buses will be allowed to pick up passengers from pre-arranged pickup points. The new routes will compensate for the Jakarta government's decision to stop allowing busway integrated intercity transport or APTB feeder buses, which used to connect the TransJakarta network with other bus routes outside the capital from entering the city center starting on June the 1st. The city argued that APTB buses run by a number of private operators must be managed by TransJakarta to ensure that the same safety and service standard are applied and fares are kept low. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's tallest active volcano, Mount Kerinci, on the border of the Sumatran provinces of Jambi and West Sumatra, spewed hot volcanic cloud, towering more than 800 meters from its crater on Sunday, June the 5th, officials said. The volatile volcano has been showing increasing activities since a 6.5 magnitude earthquake struck off the eastern coast of Sumatra on Thursday, with small volcanic quakes recorded. The Volcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation Agency has established a 3-kilometer exclusion zone. Located in the remote part of Sumatra, the National Disaster Mitigation Agency spokesman Sutopo Purwonugroho said the eruption has not posed any real danger to surrounding villages, but officials are monitoring the volcano closely with its activities continue to rise. He moreover said Mount Kerinci is Sumatra's tallest mountain. Volcanic clouds could reach airplanes cruising altitude and disrupt flights. People around the volcano are still safe, but officials have prepared a contingency plan in case the eruption in Mount Kerinci escalates. The last item. The Youth and Sport Ministry has allotted 160 billion rupiah budget to help accommodate transport in the National Sport Week, or PON 19, in West Java. The central government has prepared 160 billion rupiah for PON19 in West Java. The budget will be used to accommodate transport. It cannot be disbursed today, but it will have to wait for the event to kick off, Minister Imam Narawi said. He added that the ministry continues monitoring the preparation of PON19 to ensure that all things related to their event run well. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. New elections law undermines General Election Commission KPU independence, activists warn. Three people detained on charges of carrying 150 kilograms of hashish. Study finds Indonesians want welfare. That was the news.
Listener, our commentary today entitled Sitting Together to Determine Hilal. In his remarks on the media, Minister of Religious Affairs Luqman Hakim Saifuddin said that the government continues to open up a dialogue among Muslim religious leaders in determining the position of the new moon, which marks the entry of Ramadan for Muslims in Indonesia. He hopes that someday the entire Islamic groups in Indonesia will use the same method in citing the new moon that is acceptable to all parties. Actually, the government has for many years used two methods to see the new moon, namely Ruqiyah and Hisab or Reckoning. All sides need to get together to determine the criteria so that the position of the new moon can be viewed together and avoid differences in the future. Thus, eliminating the need for government to conduct confirmation is the special Isbat meeting as it is done today. Isbat meeting, which determined the position of new moon, which marks the end of Ramadan, is conducting a closed-door meeting to avoid debates that may occur among the participants during the meeting result in other debates in wider community. In the determination of the government of the new moon, the government has also observed the moon through sophisticated telescopes in order to continue to monitor the appearance of the moon. This means that the government has done everything possible so Muslim Indonesia could determine the Hilal together. The government provided the tools and personnel spent in both in the field Ruqiyah and Isyad or Reckoning. It's not a secret when determining the beginning of months of Ramadan and Shawwal is often characterized by various dissent, particularly between the two largest religious community organizations in Indonesia, namely the Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah, not to mention smaller religious organizations or communities. So what is desired by the Minister of Religious Affairs Luqman Hakim is not an easy matter, as long as the power community-based organizations still want to show that they are far more accurate and superior in determining the new moon than others. Until these differences to be reconciled into a practical and accurate method in determination of the new moon so that people are not confused is still mystery. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm Hirmana Rahmana in our regular program Today in History of Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from Nippon on June 6, 1971 when Soyuz 11 was launched. Soyuz 11 was the only manned mission to board the world-class space station, Soyuz 1. The Soyuz 10 had a soft dock but had not been able to enter due to latching problems. The mission arrived at the space station on 7 of June 1971 and departed on 30 of June. The mission ended in disaster when the crew capsule depressurized during preparation for re-entry, killing the three main crew. The Soyuz 11 crew members were Georgi Dobrovsky, Vladislav Volkov, and Viktor Vasayev. The three crew members of Soyuz 11 are the only humans to have died in space. The next event was in 1975 when Indonesia won the first title in Uber Cup. The 1975 Uber Cup was the 8th edition of Uber Cup, the women's badminton team competition. The tournament took place in the 1974-1975 badminton season and 14 countries competed. Indonesia won its first title in Uber Cup after beating the defending champion Japan in the final round in Jakarta. Japan pledged its sport consortium
Super Cup final have been won the tournament in 1966, 1969, and 1972. The Japanese women won two of the three singles but dropped all four doubles to the Indonesian women who were playing before their home crowd. Thus, Indonesia won the Uber Cup for the first time. It was the final Uber Cup appearance of two great veterans, Japan's Noriko Nakayama, who completed her four campaigns and defeated in singles, and Indonesian Winarni Sudaryanto, who, after playing on Indonesian team since 1959, finally achieved the ultimate prize. And the last event was in 1988 when Ayatollah Khomeini was buried. Grand Ayatollah Syed Ruhollah Mousavi Khomeini was an Iranian Shia Muslim religious leader, revolutionary politician, and the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran and the leader of the 1979 Iranian Revolution, which saw the overthrow of the Pahlavi monarchy and Muhammad Reza Pahlavi, the Shah of Iran. Following the revolution, Khomeini became the country's supreme leader, a position created in the Constitution of Islamic Republic as the highest-ranking political and religious authority of the nation, which he held until his death. He was succeeded by Ali Khamenei. Ayatollah Khomeini died on 3rd of June 1989 after suffering five heart attacks. On June 6, 1988, Ayatollah Khomeini was buried. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, our focus today entitled ASEAN Regional Minimum Wage. Well, listener, this is a rural service voice of Indonesia with focus. Today's focus theme is ASEAN regional minimum wage should have equality for ASEAN member countries. Regional minimum wage in the ASEAN region for the welfare of workers should have equality for all members of ASEAN. For that, it should get the approval of all member countries of ASEAN. Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta, is quoted by Antara News Agency, said that ASEAN members are not expected to compete by lowering tariffs but more competitive by increasing productivity. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also pointed out the regional minimum wage of ASEAN has no standard yet, so it has counts the imbalanced welfare of the workers will also have an impact on the purchasing power and the economic in certain countries. He also added that when there is a foreign investment coming into Indonesia and workers ask for higher wages, the investor will choose to move to other countries such as Vietnam and Cambodia that are willing to have their workers paid lower wages. As a result of the absence of the wage standard, the income of the people, especially the workers, will be very small because of the competition among ASEAN countries. On the other hand, previously Vice President Yusuf Kalla, while giving a speech in the World Economic Forum in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, had proposed implementation of standard minimum wage for workers in member countries of ASEAN, which aims for regional equality. Vice President Yusuf Kalla explained that equality is very important to avoid unfair competition in ASEAN. He said that such equality will bring about prosperity for all people of ASEAN as investment will be growing. Thus, the state can provide equal income for the people to encourage and improve the purchasing power and increase productivity. Meanwhile, Malaysian Prime Minister Dato Sri Muhammad Najib bin Tun Haji Abdul Rashid, as quoted by Republika Online, said the improvement of economic growth of ASEAN has drawn international attention, especially with the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, since ASEAN countries are increasingly opening up for foreign investment. Dato Najib said ASEAN has defeated China in a foreign direct investment in 2013, and last year ASEAN was named Asia's hottest investment. He said with that power, ASEAN has begun to reduce barriers to investment and eliminating import tariffs. So ASEAN has been transformed into a production base for multinational as well as regional companies. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Activists said the recent past revision to the regional election law will seriously undermine the General Election Commission independence, while others pointed out that the amendments have failed to address some of the issues found in last year's simultaneous regional elections. Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Agus Hermanto has called on the government to be serious in handling the increase in staple food prices during Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr. The government has to be very serious on the issue, particularly Trade Ministry, Industry Ministry, State-owned Enterprises Ministry, and Agriculture Ministry, Agus Hermanto said Monday at Nusantara 3 Building, Jakarta. Police have detained three people on charges of transporting 150 kilograms of haces from Aceh Province to North Sumatra Province. The suspects were arrested when police conducted a raid on Trans Sumatra Highway. Concerns over welfare issues, including health, education, and social insurance, have topped a recent study investigating the role of the government and welfare throughout Indonesia. Around 55% of respondents of the survey, which was conducted by the Research Center for Politics and Government of Gajah Mada University, deemed services such as housing and transportation are a top priority for the public. Jakarta City-owned bus operator TransJakarta launched two new routes on Monday morning, which connect the capital with the neighboring city of South Tangerang. After opening two new routes to Tangerang last month, TransJakarta now added the Ciputat Hotel Indonesia Traffic Circle and BSD City Grogol Sleepy Kemanggisan routes, which began operations on Monday. Indonesia's tallest active volcano, Mount Kerinci, on the border of the Sumatran provinces of Jambi and West Sumatra, spewed hot volcanic cloud towering more than 800 meters from its crater on Sunday, June the 5th, official said. The Youth and Sport Ministry has allotted 160 billion rupiah budget to help accommodate transport in the National Sport Week PON19 in West Java. The budget will be used to accommodate transport. It cannot be disbursed today, but it will have to wait for the event to kick off, Minister Imam Nahrawi said. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voa.co.id. Here's our next segment, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Banten. Stay tuned. Visiting a region is not complete if you do not taste its typical food. Take for example, when you visit Banten, most western province on Java Island has its own typical food, rabek. Rabek is a cuisine with sauce which is made from meat of goat, mixing with Indonesian typical seasonings. Basic ingredients of rabek are red onion, garlic, and white pepper. Supporting seasonings are nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, galangal, and cayenne. There is people who use cardamom or a little bit cinnamon to scent. Its spicy taste is very special. At a glance, this food is like semur. Semur is a type of meat stew that is braised in thick brown gravy commonly found in Indonesian cuisine. Listeners, according to history, rabek was began by Islamic pilgrimage trip of the King of Banten, Sultan Maulana Hasanuddin. Seaport city, which was the first landed at Red Sea, was Rabik, which is also spelled Rabik. Rabik is an ancient city which previously named Al-Jofa. In the 17th century, the city collapsed due to waves and it was rebuilt to be a beautiful city with the name Rabik. Sultan of Banten was very impressed with the beauty of the city. He also had enjoyed the typical menu of the city. After returning to Banten, remembering about Rabik city in Mecca, Sultan asked chef of the palace to cook meat of goat like he ate at Rabik. Because no one knew how to cook it, finally the chef tried to cook it with his own way. In fact, Sultan loved it. Since at the time, goat meat cuisine, which is smooth and savory, became mandatory food at the palace. The recipe of the food was finally known by society and become popular cuisine, which must exist in every event. The name of Rabik also sticks on it. As the time passed by, the name of Rabik changed to be Rabik. Until now, Rabik still becomes popular cuisine in Banten province. At Serang city, there are many stalls and restaurants which sell this food. Besides Arab Banten, acculturation food is often served in special days such as Eid al-Fitr and Idul Adha. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Puasa, which in English means fasting. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Kita, kita, which means we. Makan siang, which means lunch. Bersama, bersama, which means together. Di mana, which means where. Kamu, kamu, which means you. Maaf, maaf, which means sorry or forgive. Berpuasa, berpuasa, which means to fast. Umat Muslim, which means Muslims. Makan, makan, which means to eat. Minum, minum, which means to drink. Mulai, mulai, which means to begin. Matahari terbit, which means sunrise. Matahari terbenam, which means sunset. Berapa lama, which means how long. Melaksanakan, melaksanakan, which means to do. satu bulan, which means 1 month. Setelah, which means after. Hari Raya Lebaran, which means Idul Fitri. Semoga, which means hopefully or may. Sehat, which means health. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Puasa, or in English means fasting. The conversation is between A. Mary and B. Nita at the office. A. Mary, mari kita makan siang bersama. Mari kita makan siang bersama, which means let us have lunch together. Kamu mau makan siang di mana? Kamu mau makan siang di mana? Which means where do you want to have lunch? B. Nita, oh maaf, saya sedang berpuasa. Oh maaf, saya sedang berpuasa, which means sorry, I'm fasting. Sekarang ini adalah bulan Ramadan, which means this is the month of Ramadan. A. Mary, apakah puasa itu? Which means, what is fasting? B. Nita, puasa adalah saat di mana umat muslim tidak makan dan minum mulai matahari terbit sampai matahari terbenam. Which means, fasting is when Muslims abstain completely from foods and drinks before the break of the dawn till sunset. A. Mary, berapa lama kamu melaksanakan puasa? Which means, how long are you fasting? B. Nita, Kami melaksanakan puasa selama satu bulan, which means we are fasting for 1 month. Setelah 1 bulan berpuasa, kami kemudian merayakan hari Lebaran. Which means after 1 month of fasting, we celebrate Idul Fitri or Lebaran. A. Mary, Kalau begitu, selamat berpuasa, which means, alright, happy fasting. Semoga kamu selalu sehat, which means, hopefully you are always in a good health. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with different topics. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian kroncong pop singer, Ubid. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song as a collaboration work of Ubid, Dian Pramana Putra, and Rizal Arsyad, entitled Di Bawah Sinar Bulan Purnama.
Happy listening.
Listener, Ubit was born in Aceh on May 24, 1965. She completed his musical education at the Jakarta Art Institute, later earned a Master of Music in Ethnomusicology from the University of Wisconsin, Madison, the United States, and obtained her PhD in Ethnomusicology from the same university, both through the scholarship program. In the middle of education, Ubid, enthusiastic on learning Indonesian traditional vocal art and foreign countries, especially from Africa, Korea, and Spain. To get new things makes Ubid become a woman who is very concerned on science, since she can find many unique things outside there. As a singer, Ubid exploring different kinds of music genres, from the popular music such as pop and jazz to the contemporary music. She has cooperated with a number of musicians, musical group, as well as composer. Together with Tony Prabowo, an Indonesian contemporary music composer, Indonesia, which is known in the treasures of the world, especially in the United States, has produced various stage performances and recording. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Aksi Kucing by Ubid. Happy listening.
Nabung malu malu kucing meong meong di belakang suaranya nyaring, jangan suka bung diam diam kucing sudah menerkam sebelumnya berunding. Aksi kucing membuat perselisihan, salah salah dari kawan jadi lawan. Aksi kucing membuat perselisihan, salah-salah dari kawan jadi lawan. Salah paham bung, karena aksi kucing urusan kecil bisa jadi meruncing. Salah paham bung, karena aksi kucing urusan kecil bisa jadi meruncing. Salah-salah dari kawan jadi lawan. Aksi kucing membuat perselisihan, salah-salah dari kawan jadi lawan. Salah paham bung, karena aksi kucing urusan kecil bisa jadi meruncing. Salah paham bung, karena aksi kucing urusan kecil bisa jadi meruncing. Urusan kecil bisa jadi meruncing. Urusan kecil bisa jadi meruncing.
Rubit wants to develop her career since she was not satisfied with her way to play classical and popular music. During in mid-1980s, Ubit began to cultivate a variety of styles, techniques, and expression of singing. For Ubit, singing is not just to produce melody sound, but also cultivate dissonant sound, for example, by writing and combining sounds surrounding. When Ubit met with Tony Prabowo in 1989, they found a common language. Well, to conclude our program for today of Music Corner, let's listen to the last song entitled Nyanyian Nusantara Dunia by Ubit. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Syairku terang
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.